Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions we express do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. If you would like to support the show, go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar and check out our Patreon campaign.
Sorry, I'm a little late. Skype was improving my experience.
Oh, cool. Yeah. As it does. I'm so grateful that they know what my experience ought to be.
Wait for a while. I assure you we're making this better for you.
Oh boy, you're going to see so many new ads.
This is going to be great.
Did you seriously update Skype?
No, it did it for me. It literally just came on and said,
"Oh,
please, please wait while we improve your experience." Based upon no knowledge of you.
Yeah, it was triangulating your preferences.
We assume you're a pudgy white male. You're going to love this.
Yeah, you're using Skype.
Based upon the fact that you've added many, many female sex toys to your list on Amazon, yet not purchased one of them.
Oh, man. Truth?
It's a case study.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers. Featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
So, do you have any suggestions for improvement for me? Is there anything I'm doing wrong that you see fit to make me feel bad about?
Cole, it's constructive always.
It's a service.
Building my walls up.
No, it's a service you provide. You know, the beginning of every show, it's improvement opportunities,
yeah,
right?
You're doing good.
It's just Cole's okay. Yeah, no, you're just I just wanted to give you the opportunity because that's the segment that we do now.
I'd love to see you thrive, Cole. Which is a new dance move.
It's the successor to Teach Me How to Dougie. It's been 7 years.
Boom. It's a real club banger.
I want to see you thrive, Cole. Yeah. Can anybody call anything a club banger? I've said club banger and it always lands flat. I can normally pull that stuff off.
I think there's certain genres that are okay for club bangers.
Yeah, so I can't say, dude, this new Paul Simon single is a club banger.
No, you can't.
Listen to the harmonies, man.
They really are great. For a club banger, maybe not so much. I don't know. I think maybe it's more sarcastic. Like, yeah, that's a real club banger.
Yeah, yeah. Is that like calling it the song of the summer? Like, to me, I see them being very, very equivalent.
They're calling the song of the summer in February, like right now.
What was last year's song? I know they were trying to figure out on UID, but I still don't know what last year's song of the summer was. Was it still Uptown Funk?
Closing Time?
The Verve came back.
Oh.
They found a loophole. They redshirted the Verve.
The Graduation song?
By TLC?
No, I think that was by Vitamin C.
Yeah.
As we go on, we'll remember all the times we had together.
So that's pretty funny because there has to be like that feels like a weird cousin to we're going to crassly release a Christmas album or song. Like actually releasing something about graduation or we saw this with Nickelback's Photograph.
And always remember to wear your sunscreen.
Exactly. Precisely. Baz Luhrmann's appropriation of an actual speech. But Baz Luhrmann did not write that. He found it.
On the back of his shampoo bottle.
On the back of his Dr. Bronner's. A lot of people don't know this because that label is really busy, but the text on Dr. Bronner's talks about angels, aliens, and it's the full text of the sunscreen song. Oh gosh, Napster hits 99.
Is that how long ago that was?
I think so.
You really don't remember the Graduation song?
I remember Graduation, like, yeah, no, the one you sang.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
I wouldn't call it singing.
Well, no,
but I was more club banging.
No, the one that you represented to the present body, or to the body that's present. Yeah, right. No, like I remember that one. It's very cloying. It's very yeah. I don't know. It's pandery, right? It's a pander bear.
Yeah. Well, Rolling Stone vomited a top 20 graduation songs article on their website.
Oh, cool. What's number one? Can you cut me off a slice?
Yeah, Rolling Stone's not as controversial as they used to be. They haven't actually put a ranking in here. Just a list. No ranking, just a list.
Okay.
Now, these are of the past 20 years. Let me see if there's any potable notables.
Before we get too far, we'll consider this a story. What episode is this, Chris?
I don't know.
179.
It's 179 of the comedy podcast, Those Damn Ross Kids.
Your name is?
I'm Chris.
My name is Cole, and we're here to entertain your asses. Entertain me with the top graduation songs.
Of the past 20 years.
Okay. Wow, that goes back to 96.
Right. I wonder if the graduation song. Good Riddance. We Are Young. Katy Perry's Firework?
I wouldn't have considered We Are Young to be a graduation song. That's a song about, like, disillusionment. I guess most of them are, like, Time of Your Life. Most graduation songs are about disillusionment. I just missed a big theme. All right.
Boz Luhrmann, Everybody's Free to Wear Sunscreen. Sarah McLachlan, I Will Remember You. Not how I would think of that. Like, maybe while you were cleaning your guns before going to graduation.
Yeah, you know.
As you do. Started from the bottom.
What?
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Oh, I don't know that song.
I guess that's a graduation song and a song that they play before a guy goes up to bat in professional baseball.
Okay. Well, what would your song be?
My song would
when you go up to bat.
I Can by Nas.
Yeah, mine would be Roundabout by Yes. Go ahead.
Nico and Vince, Am I Wrong?
I don't know that one. I know Nico.
The Wonder Years, My Last Semester. I don't know that either.
Oh, that's Fred Savage's band.
No, it's not.
Yeah, no, it's him and what's his name? Paul.
Clarissa.
Paul plays bass. Yeah, you got Melissa Joan Hart on keyboard and kind of like alternate, like she occasionally rocks a tuba line.
Some Matchbox on here, LCD mm-hmm. Sound System.
What LCD Sound System song would be a graduate?
All My Friends.
Okay, yeah, I could see that. But not, like, Losing My Edge would be better, I think.
Nicki Minaj, Photograph by Nickelback.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, anyway, I'm done with this.
Okay, cool. No, I just... Yeah, that's a real crass play, I think. I Will Remember You. That has to be older than 96.
I don't think so.
That feels like one of the songs that's always been.
That's always been.
Now that's 95. Hey. They're fucking with us.
Hey, Cole.
Yeah.
While we're still doing a little bit of you ping pong ding dong here, there's this site called wordreference.com.
Is it like etymology or what?
Yeah. And it's like a lot of people. Okay. The front side of wordreference.com is like a resource, but the back side is a forum.
Oh, yeah. It's the talk pages.
Oh, good God. It's talk about talk.
Okay. So.
Okay. So there's all these people that are super around. Well, first off, they're around the world. And then there's academics and... There's people that are really, really all about language, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
So, this guy, he's from Spain, moves to Mexico, then comes from Mexico to the United States, and he's trying to figure out, what are we doing here, you know? And he says, hello, everybody. I'm a student of English, and I would like to know if there is any difference between the words bitch and hoe. I have seen these words in song lyrics. I know that in my first language, we use the same word for both. So does one refer to one type of person and the other one does not? Or can they be used interchangeably?
Come on. All right.
Okay. So a bitch is a derogatory term for a female. that you happen to dislike for whatever reason. A hoe or ho would be one that's considered promiscuous.
Yes, a loose or fast woman.
Please no.
Both are derogatory.
And in our language, both these words are highly impolite and rather sexual, sexistic. Is that a thing?
I don't know.
Sexist, I guess. Unless, of course, you speak of the female dog or garden tools. All right. Everybody's agreeing. Says, can you explain in what way the word ho is offensive? I can't see any similarities with bitch.
So this guy is essentially a space alien.
It seems that way.
No.
So then it devolves into rap is misogynistic. So there's all these people that I doubt have ever listened to a rap song that are talking about how horrible, violent, and murderous hardcore gangster rap is.
Okay.
It goes on then to say, I emphasize that such terms are more likely to be used by members of uneducated subcultures possessing limited vocabulary, such as by rap music,
and
which learners of English should avoid rather than emulate. So the original poster says, thank you all for the clarification and for pointing out the offensiveness. I found both words in the lyrics of the song, Bitches Ain't Shit.
And the chorus of the song. I don't even know the song.
Bitches ain't shit, but hoes and tricks. It's interesting because I've even heard men using the word amongst themselves. For example, hey, you stop being a little bitch. So my guess is that you can use this word to refer to men too.
No, this is Sacha Baron Cohen coming in and like holding up a mirror to society. Like, explain yourselves.
I happen to notice that most of the offensive words used in music videos are being muted. So how can you enjoy something like whore when you have such tough censors?
Is there a song called whore?
By the way, is there a bit nicer way of saying whore?
Prostitute, call girl, streetwalker. Like
this guy's from Russia, by the way, the one that's asking this question. Yes. So then it spirals down from there.
Yeah, I'm real happy that some word nerds got in there and just started taking pot shots at rap. If there's anything I've learned in my time, it's that it's generally not a good idea to talk about like whole genres as if they are the same thing.
Right.
Just want to throw that out there. That is.
So Russia guy pipes in and says, okay, but could it be then for a girl that is being a bitch is like being fun, popular, a little crazy, but have a bad temper, right?
I can see that.
Calling a woman a bitch usually means that she is too assertive. It never means fun or popular.
That's categorically wrong. Like, used among a peer group where it's accepted, like, if I call you a fucker, like... You know that I'm not actually calling you a fucker, but like if you do something that a fucker would do, then.
Okay. Original poster says, oh, I see. Yes. I've had the chance to hear the word in both cases, and you are right. The first case, a girl working as a clerk was being rude to customers, and I guess one of them got tired of it and told her, why do you have to be such a bitch? In the second case, this guy didn't want to play baseball. I guess he was shy or something. So one of the guys told him. So one of the guys told him, "Hey, you stop being a little bitch." So one of the senior members from the United States says, "Those are perfect examples of the difference."
So, but does this guy just keep on digging? Like people at this point are like confirming, saying, yes, it's complicated. It's best not to use the word, you know, like you don't open your mouth unless you know the shot. Right.
Right. So the thread concludes with this thread contains opinions that are both personal and non-linguistic.
Did a mod come in and say, like, what the fuck are you doing here?
That is not at all surprising. It has also wandered far from the original topic. That means that the thread has deviated from word reference norms. It has therefore been closed.
Oh, man, word reference. I respect a forum with good moderation.
So you could, I think you could fall into word reference for a while.
I think so. Like, it sounds like there's a lot of people who are just seeking to understand.
Right.
Yeah. And a lot of people who really want to push their own understanding of something. Huh.
Bitches ain't shit.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Anyway, language is weird.
Yeah. Can I dominate the first part of this this episode?
Yeah, for sure. Don't worry. Like, I've got stories, but we don't need to do the back and forth. I'm all for deviating from the format.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I have a language quiz.
Okay, cool.
So while we're on language beat.
did this particular thread like raise something in you? Did it awaken something?
Nah, not really. I was just trying to put together a quiz, and I came across this book written by his name's H. Max. It was written in, like, I think 1987, and it's called Gay's Language.
What?
Gay's Language. It's like, gay, and like, then there's apostrophe, not apostrophe, but parenthesis S, close parenthesis, mm-hmm. and then language. Okay.
So language relating to homosexuals.
Right. It was his way of putting together, like, because people, you know, at that time, people were like, "Hey, what's this all about?" And they were really defining their culture.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So they put it together. And in this book, it's 50 pages of, you know, hey, this is what the boys be talking about. Okay.
Okay.
So what you're gonna do is you're gonna spot the fake.
All right.
Bread pudding.
Ugh.
Blueberry pie. Angel food.
Bread pudding.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep. Blueberry pie is a gay sailor. And angel food is a male Air Force pilot.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's armed forces.
Yeah.
We're a few months away from Independence Day.
ID4.
Closer to Memorial Day, I guess.
ID4 too. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Cha-cha queen, dairy queen, chicken queen.
Chicken queen.
Dairy queen.
Mm.
Cha-cha queen is an effeminate Latin gay, whereas a chicken queen is a gay who seeks underage boys.
Ooh.
Yep. From the 1987 book, Gay's Language.
Yeah, this is just lexicography. They're just going through and they're trying to catalog.
Shrimp net.
You there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cottaging.
Okay.
Fish and chips.
I've got to say, by your paws, it's got to be shrimp net.
It is shrimp net.
Okay.
Cottaging is a British slang for hooking up in public restrooms.
Okay.
Fish and chips is a pejorative British slang for the spouse and child or children of a married hetero lover.
Wait, of a person who's living a lie?
Yeah, like you're like, I'm a gay man and you're married and you have kids.
Okay, all right.
But we're doing it.
Right. So it's a name for that gay person's beard.
Right, I guess.
And their little mustachelets.
Yeah, across the pond, it's fish and chips.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Trapdoor, iron closet, $9 bill.
I'm going to say $9 bill.
Incorrect.
Trapdoor, huh?
Iron closet is an individual in deep denial about their sexuality, whereas a $9 bill is an extremely outward homosexual, three times gayer than a $3 bill.
Okay. Yeah, I probably, like, I could have traced the line of thought to iron closet. I should have been able to trace it to $9 bill. That seems like one that would be easily falsifiable.
True.
Yeah.
All right. Ring snatcher, full house, perfect stranger.
Well, one of those doesn't line up with the other. However, full house probably wouldn't refer to the television show. I was about to say that was the fake one because of the because it would be too early, right? Full house wasn't on the air until the 90s. So ring chaser, full house, and what?
Ring Snatcher.
Okay, Ring Snatcher, Full House, and
Perfect Stranger.
I'm going to say Perfect Stranger.
Correct.
Okay.
Ring Snatcher is the person who plays the bottom role. Full House is a term used to denote having more than one sexual infection at once.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Okay.
So is the idea for the Ring Snatcher if they're going to be a bottom, like, hey, I'm your wife now?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows? Ring Snatcher.
Huh.
Last one. Wendy Darling, Ursula, or Tinkerbell?
Wendy Darling, Ursula, or Tinkerbell. Tinkerbell seems a little bit too on the nose. I'm going to say Tinkerbell.
Incorrect.
Oh.
Wendy Darling. That's from Peter Pan.
I know.
Okay. Ursula is a lesbian who hangs out with bears.
That's so incredibly specific. Does there need...
I'm
not going to take anybody's because language shapes thought, and I'm not going to take away. But that is ridiculously specific.
Tinkerbell is a dude who likes to be peed on.
Now,
yep.
What? I figure Tinkerbell would be somebody of any gender who really doesn't feel like themselves unless they get the clap.
Well, you know, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, I wasn't even keeping score on that. I feel like I did pretty good.
I think you did. You got half of them.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's
shrimp.
The
shrimp net.
was Forrest Gump on in the background when you were writing that? Like,
I don't know where that came from.
Shrimp net. Well, it just sounds so disgusting. Like, not in a sexual. Not relating to gay sex, but just related to any kind of sex or any kind of like culture. Like, I would not refer to something that was generally appealing or acceptable as a shrimp net.
Well, they exist. They're real functional things.
I understand. And they do exactly what the name says, which is a net for shrimping.
Ugh.
Yeah. Huh. Why
have we picked on shrimp so bad?
They're delicious.
You can't even say for shrimping.
I just like shrimping. That sounds that sounds like it's of the same stripe as like Blumpkin or something like that. It just sounds very specific and nasty. It sounds nasty.
Peel and eat. Cocktail.
again with the gump.
What's the other, yeah, scampi?
I suppose.
Shrimp net.
Oh, man. Oh, man. So, Chris, relating back to an earlier one, just because this is the episode where you have somehow hacked the context of different words to make me okay with them being on a show.
Right.
Yeah. A common idea, which I forget where it was put forward, but I think it was like in some like comedy movie or something. It's definitely in the zeitgeist. The idea of resting bitch face.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah. It's just,
I was married to it for a bit.
But no, just the idea that you refer to somebody, like I've always heard it used as a term, like to ameliorate some kind of, you know, like, oh, they're not actually like that mean. They just, it just, when they're sitting there, when their face is at rest, they look like something is wrong or you have offended them. Like, it's totally not the case, but there it is. Like, just like it's somebody else explaining to you, don't base your opinion of this person on the way they look when they're at rest. They sometimes look mean, but that has nothing to do with it.
Right.
I
think you and I are guilty of that a little bit too, because I don't know, at least me, I get accused of never like smiling, and I always look so intense. But that's just because I'm thinking and not listening.
as has been demonstrated. No, I don't get accusations of resting bitch face because I'm very quick to smile. And when I just, when my face is at rest, it is almost schizotypically neutral. Or blank.
Except for your darting eyes.
Is that a thing? Do I look shifty?
You look like a broken painting in Scooby-Doo.
I look like that one guy from the beginning of Jacob's Ladder. No, but this is a study done in 2015 from the Noldis Information Technology, did some examination into micro expressions. Okay, so this is an idea that like Lie to Me, that's a television show that takes advantage of this. Like, there are just certain things that, you know, underline our macro expressions, like, hey, this person is smiling, this person is upset. You know, like 97% of your like general facial outlook, according to their software, reads as neutral, whereas 3% shows these traces of something behind you. So like if somebody has like sad eyes, or, you know, like they're a little bit miffed, we're generally good at hiding it if we want to hide it. However, resting bitch face, they determined, is when that 3% is associated with the idea of contempt. Okay. So when they can't control it, but their face, you know, is like cloaking this idea of contempt, whether or not they actually feel it, by, you know, kind of drawing in a tightness of the mouth, by kind of cocking the eyebrows just a little bit, just like just small minuscule kind of things. And yeah, it's totally a thing. Like this software and this this study that was done indicates that you can tell by looking at photographs of people, you know, whether or not they have resting bitch face.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah,
you don't encounter too many people that have that, though.
Yeah, it's pretty rare. Most people have like a neutral kind of expression. What's that?
I just wonder if, like, what about people you don't know? Like, literally, these photos are people that you, in the study, people that you didn't know.
Well, like, if you know their actual personality, you're going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Like, every individual person, you learn to read them, right? Like, it's just like, oh, this is the language of your expression. So I know when you're, you know, like, I know when you're not listening to me, Chris. I can tell by the sound of your voice when you're not listening to me.
Right.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
So
the more that I deal with like mentally disturbed people in my life,
yeah,
you know, occupationally, the more I start to look for stuff, you know, that's going to set people off.
Like, what do you mean? Like signs that,
like,
they...
I thought I paid attention before to, like, you know, the signs of people, you know, getting escalatingly agitated.
Yeah.
You know, or just when somebody approaches you, like how pissed off they are to begin with, like just like the baseline.
Yeah.
Like, hey, where, you know, where are we starting at?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what kind of fight is this?
Just like, well, what should my posture be for the opening move of this?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
You can just tell, you know, people are having a good day or a bad day, or
for sure. So do you think you're getting more sensitive in general, or are you getting more sensitive to just the kinds of things that you see in your line of work?
I think it's survival. I don't think it's sensitive. I mean, it's not, it doesn't change.
No, I'm not using
feelings. Are you're using sensitivity in the sense of like being more perceptive?
Yeah. Like being more attuned to it. Right. Like, I'm not using sensitivity in the sense of like vulnerability. I'm not. But I mean, like, I'm not using sensitive as a pejorative here. I'm just saying, like, are you just more acutely aware of the small cluster of kind of expressions that you see?
Yeah, body language, everything. Just start to pay more attention. Like, you know, because when people walk up to the window,
mm-hmm.
the bulletproof window that I work behind.
Yeah.
You know, you get to see how they walk up, where their hands are, what they're doing.
Now, I noticed that when
what
I...
What are you going to do with that?
I noticed that when I worked retail. I got very attuned to people's gaits.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
Oh, you have shit in your pants and you're rock hard. This is
and you're trading in wrestling DVDs. Okay.
This is odd.
But I know how to do it. But like, you know, like I'm not very good with faces. I'm better with voices than faces. And especially over the past like 5 years of dealing with clients over the phone, I kind of can tell from there, even over like phone line compression. But like those 8 years of working retail got me really attuned to like, this is the way an angry person walks.
Yeah.
Even out of the corner of your eye.
Yeah. I don't know. Who knows?
Does this fall under emotional intelligence? Like, I have no idea, like, what this...
I don't think so.
Like, what this skill set or aptitude, if you can even call it that. Like, I feel like that guy on wordreference.com, I'm a space alien coming in and just kind of like, faces, am I right?
Bitches ain't shit.
But I don't know. I'm curious because that's definitely a skill is one thing. Like, you can have a talent. You can be tuned into that frequency more as a person, just kind of like latently, right?
I guess.
I don't know.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, you're bored with this, so I'll usher you along.
No, I mean, I listen to it. But you're right. I am bored with it.
Yeah, so take us to something you're not bored with.
All right. You know how in the Flintstones the background keeps recycling?
Yeah, it's like one big painting that they did, right? That loops. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we've recycled the background in the world right now.
Oh, are you noticing the same people over and over again?
I'm noticing, yeah, kind of. And I have two stories that will prove this theory, okay? A black third grader in St. Louis cannot continue to go to his same urban school because of a 1983 settlement meant to end segregation in St. Louis area schools. The settlement read that white kids can transfer to urban schools and black kids can transfer to suburban schools, but not vice versa. So there's this black kid that wants to go to an urban school and can't.
Just to be with his friends, like, just,
yeah, his family, you know, they went all Huxtable out in the suburbs, and he's like, no, I want to stay here and go to school.
Yeah,
you know, it's like at an inner city science academy. It's, you know, it's for smart kids, but he can't continue to go there because, you know, black kids aren't allowed to go to urban schools if they live in the suburbs.
Yeah, that's an obvious oversight. God.
Yeah, but that's just okay. We're back to this now.
back to what now?
Back to this the whole segregation thing. Like, dude, mm-hmm. You wanted to go to the suburban school, and now you want to fight to go to the urban school. What's going to make you happy?
Well, I mean, they're extenuating circumstances.
I feel like this circumstance has resting bitch face. I am never going to be able to rectify this situation because the next time I do, say we rewrite it. Like,
no,
oh, man,
but like,
I want to go to school on the moon.
We both agreed at the start that that's an extenuating circumstance. Like, he wants to stay at his school with his friends, and it's a good school. Like, that doesn't mean the whole idea is broken.
I'm just saying.
Just saying what?
The background's recycled, man.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's an ongoing conversation, and it's not a problem you can solve all at once.
We did it right. It's not an ongoing conversation.
Yeah.
It's defined. It's done. It's over with. We get it. Suburban schools are better. You should go to them.
Not...
We allowed you to go to them.
But...
Here in 1983, look.
Chris, you're making...
It's as old as me, Cole. This hasn't come up in 33 years.
But it's cutting against him in a way that makes him, it's stopping him from doing what he wants to do. I think
that it hasn't happened in 33 years say something about how weird this kid is?
Not really. Like,
it kind of does.
You're actually making me angry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, but it's just like, I think I can't tell how much of what you're saying is genuine here.
None of it.
Okay, cool. Jesus. Okay.
Like, I just thought it was funny. Like, well, really? Like, I thought we had this taken care of, but I guess we don't.
No, but I mean, like, just the thing we don't have taken care of is that, like, there are systemic things that make it really hard for people to do what they want to do. And
winky trash? Like, what do you mean? Kind of. You don't like that one. Never mind.
No, I don't like it, but I want to make sure people know, like, and just, you need to be aware of how it comes off when you start saying that stuff.
No, there, you think that there are things that keep people from doing things?
I think so. Like, in this case, it's pretty shitty that there's a rule keeping this kid from going to the school he wants to go to.
I think that
it'd be shitty the other way around too.
I think you have to be very careful about what you do in an attempt to help the few,
mm-hmm.
as far as the repercussions that can not only affect the masses, but can affect the few that are slightly more privileged or, you know, slightly higher mm-hmm. in the scheme of things.
Right.
And the example that I'll give you is like Bernie Sanders' healthcare plan.
Okay.
Okay. Like the people who don't have a job right now who are on Medicaid, mm-hmm. they're going to have the same healthcare on Bernie Sanders' health plan as they do now. But the people that are working, like the working poor mm-hmm. who are still on Medicaid, are going to have an additional 6% income tax, payroll tax, to pay for the Medicare or the Medicaid that they already have. So you have to be careful when you talk about this one kid who wants to do something different. Mm-hmm. And you can do wonderful things to be able to remove that barrier for this handful of people. But you got to look at the step above them. Are you yanking them down by trying to help someone take that step?
Yeah.
No, like you just have to be very, very careful. It's fun to rally, you know, behind or and yell about how there's barriers that keep people from doing things.
Right.
But you got to be careful.
No, like definitely. And I just, trust me, you're not going to find anybody who's more receptive to the notion that things are more complicated than they seem. You know, than I am, right? Like, just, yeah, everything is more complicated. But like, there are a couple of kind of general rules that you can probably apply, which is individual freedoms to do one thing or another are probably pretty good. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just right at the start. We both agree that one situation was kind of strange, right?
Yeah, it's odd.
Yeah, it's an outlier, and you have to, you know, you can't account for all of them, but like those are the stress points in the system that force you to reevaluate the way that goes. And the fact that law has stayed the same for 30 years when all of the dynamics have shifted, and, you know, I can pretty much guarantee you like that kind of school didn't exist in that city, you know, at that time. Right. So like that law didn't, like, it doesn't apply anymore.
But see, it kind of does. Picture this. You walk into today, right now, you walk into McDonald's and you say, I'd like a pizza. Sir, I'm sorry, McPizza hasn't been around for 25 years. I believe
and only
you need
in certain
to
markets.
I believe
only
you
in
need
certain
to
markets.
Add it to the menu then. Oh, well, then McDonald's is like, well, fuck, man. 25 years ago, we had pizza. This guy wants pizza now. Send it out wide.
That's what you're arguing for, is that McDonald's should always have served pizza because at one point they did. Your example doesn't hold.
Cool. All I'm asking that they do right now is to take one of the top of the buns, throw some of those mozzarella sticks they got on it, and put it in the steamer.
Oh man, I had put it in the steamer with the shrimp net.
Right.
Yeah. No. I was curious. I think you offhandedly mentioned something about those mozzarella sticks. Now I was like, I can't not try a McDonald's mozzarella stick, and it was like the consistency of when I would get too zealous about shrink wrapping something when I worked at the store. Like, just if you're doing anything, like it was so obviously melted plastic.
There's all kinds of pictures all over the internet of where people have gotten empty mozzarella sticks.
That's happened to me before in non-McDonald's establishments. That happened to me at Cheddar's once.
Yeah. Remember when you got those raw chicken strips?
Yeah. At the Roadhouse.
Yeah. The original Roadhouse, where a family can still afford to dine.
Did they change that? This is a steakhouse establishment in Ontario, Ohio, where we grew up.
Yeah. Well, there's multiple. He actually has a chain of them.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Huh. I had no idea.
He's got a catering line, concession stands.
The Savarises. I knew about his catering.
Right.
Yeah. But
they dropped the T.
So it's just S-A-S-A-V. Yeah.
Pronounced the same. No T.
Huh. Well, I mean, the T was always silent.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. The second recycling background is Mercedes-Benz is replacing robots with humans on some of their assembly lines.
Okay. For like what particular jobs?
Mercedes offers so many options for its vehicles, such as four types of caps for the tire valves in its S-Class sedan. Mm-hmm. They say it's too much for machines. Robots can't deal with the degree of individualism. Robots can't even take the stress, Cole.
You got a robot over there weeping in the corner, just binary streaming down the screen.
We've sent the robots to therapy. They're learning coping skills.
We're giving them Xanax.exe.
Right. Xanax.exe. That's a title. Congratulations, Cole.
Thank you.
You did good there.
Yay.
All right. I'm done with that now. They say we're saving money and safeguarding our future by employing more people. Really?
Mm-hmm. Where are these jobs at?
In Germany.
Okay.
They make 400,000 cars annually.
I understand that they like cars there.
And while humans can make changes to a production line in a weekend, reprogramming robots tacks on weeks, which doesn't jibe with their push to have the time it takes to make a car from the 61 hours it took in 2005. So they're adding humans to try to cut in half the 61 hours it took to make a car. They want to make it in 30 and a half hours using people.
So again, this feels kind of similar to the extent that they are to my mind intelligently reevaluating their old assumptions that automation is not uber alles, and in fact there needs to be some kind of balance and we need to find the right way to deploy which resources to play to the strengths of both.
Seemingly,
yeah.
Hey, no matter how good robots are, going to take them a while to catch up with us people.
I mean, in terms of like recognizing patterns, in terms of adapting to tasks quickly, like, you know, you don't have to like retool. I mean, just like that's the whole notion, right? Like retooling is expensive and time consuming. You don't have to retool a person.
Well, sometimes you do.
Well, I mean, you know, John Wayne Bobbitt kind of thing, but
I've got a story about that.
Go ahead. This could be the Chris show.
Which part?
No. What's the story about retooling a person?
Well, it's about a Tyson chicken plant. Ugh. Or about Tyson chicken in general.
Okay.
Largest meat producer in America averaged nearly 2 worker amputations per month in 2015.
Yeah, they can't update the sign because everybody lost their hands.
17 amputations were reported at 10 Tyson meat processing plants. One Arkansas employee lost the tip of his finger in an impeller. An employee in Nebraska lost 3 fingers to a skinner. And one poor Missouri employee lost both hands to an auger. Quote, the names of these tools tell just part of the story of why these amputations occurred. Their names, however, provide more than an inkling about the physical demands of these jobs.
Right. So if you're working with something called an auger, you're probably going to get a hole bored in you at some point.
OSHA, the Occupational Health and Safety Agency, estimates that injuries on the job annually are underreported by up to 70%.
Huh.
Meaning, and the reason for this is that employers are in charge of reporting the data. They're self-reporting.
Yeah. No, what's the example that you hear a lot? Like the guy with the broom determining how many elephants can be in the parade.
The parade master?
Yeah, the parade master, the guy with the broom. No, just
had the tall water buffalo hat.
Exactly. With a big hat, tiny car.
No. Big hat, tiny car.
Yeah, you know.
Like, is that like big shoes? Big.
The bigger your hat is, the tinier your car is. Except in the case of Shriners, in which at which point it is a directly proportional relationship. The tinier your hat, the tinier your car.
The longer Chris, the dog, the more you paid.
It's parade dynamics.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
Xanax.exe.
I was pretty proud of that.
Yeah, it was good.
Chris, you want me to tell them what they can do?
Please.
Yeah. It's getting hard to account for all of the stuff at the end of these shows. Sometimes, like, there's the usual iTunes ratings and reviews, Facebook kind of stuff, but that's all available on the page. Over the past like month or so, I have implemented this a new thing. It's duckfeed.tv/news, where every Friday I just kind of gather up everything that is happening on the network, and that is just like a thing you can subscribe to, or it is a thing you can go and check. It's blasted out over the social media, and it kind of gathers everything so you can see what's happening. Things like the live stream that is happening later today as we're recording, but it happened a couple weeks ago by the time you listen to this. But yeah, that is the thing that I would direct you toward. It's available on the front page of the website, but yeah, all the, that's all the, regular stuff. Patreon is a good way to help out too. And, yeah, Chris, did I miss anything?
No, you got it.
All right. Sorry, America.
Sorry.